are also at high risk of malnutrition. From 0 to 6 months of age, a mother's milk is the best and safest food a baby can get. This protects the child from nutritional deficiencies and catching deadly diseases such as diarrhea, especially when access to safe drinking water is extremely limited. Mental health issues on the rise across the population in Gaza, including among women, could further impact breastfeeding rates. Over 1.9 million people have been displaced from their homes, of whom over 1.4 million are staying in overcrowded shelters. These conditions are ripe for a continued rise in infectious diseases. In Gaza today, on average, there is only one shower for every 4,500 people and one toilet for every 220. Clean water remains scarce, and there are rising levels of outdoor defecation. These conditions make the spread of infectious diseases inevitable. Tragically, access to health services across Gaza has plummeted as the war continues to degrade the health system. With the health system on its knees, those facing the deadly combination of hunger and disease are left with few options. The people of Gaza, who have already suffered enough, now face death from starvation and diseases that could be easily treated with a functioning health system. This must stop. Food and other aid must flow in far greater amounts. WHO reiterates its call for an immediate humanitarian ceasefire. According to the Electronic Intifada, before the current war, and with Gaza blockaded since 2007, medications for chronic diseases and infections would start to run out in the last 10 days of each month. Patients needing those drugs would have to wait until the beginning of the following month. Then Gaza's health ministry would provide new supplies. That would often involve borrowing medicines from clinics run by the UN Agency for Palestine Refugees, UNRWA, or buying medicines at high prices from private pharmacies. Now, there is almost no medicine in Gaza. The shelves are bare in governmental and UNRWA clinics and private pharmacies, if those pharmacies are still operating. More than 220,000 people with high blood pressure do not have medicine. Around 71,000 people with diabetes do not have insulin or anti-diabetics. Some 1,100 people who need kidney dialysis face major and potentially life-threatening complications because the healthcare system has been forced to collapse. In Gaza, more than 2,000 people are diagnosed with cancer per year. They include approximately 120 children. The two hospitals specializing in cancer have been attacked. Doa Yusuf, doctor, said, "Our center receives 600 patients per day. We are seeing a huge number of infections. Most of them are respiratory, skin, and gastrointestinal. Chickenpox, lice, and scabies, flu, gastroenteritis, and hepatitis A are extremely common. People in Gaza are living in inhuman conditions. Displaced people do not have adequate shelter or clothing in the harsh winter weather. About 700 people share each bathroom in UNRWA schools. That means adults and children have to queue for hours before they can use a bathroom with scarcely any water."
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners from all around the world. Welcome back to IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Viewpoint. I am Beaton. Once again, I have the honor to be the host of today's episode. And here with me, there are two dear guest speakers, Sheikh Rouhani and Brother Ali with me here. Welcome to the studio, brothers.
Thank you very much. It's a great pleasure for us to be here.
Actually, it's been a long time. I've been resisting the urgent temptation to use artificial intelligence for doing my assignments. I didn't make my PowerPoints, translation, whatever. But lately, actually, I failed against this resistance and I used artificial intelligence and I was really satisfied. You know, easy, beautiful, neat, organized, and everything you can imagine of an artificial intelligence to do for you. It was perfect completely. And, you know, AI is one of the most controversial topics of today's actually topics around the world. And today, in this episode too, we're going to make a beautiful discussion out of this topic, AI. And from both ethical and functional and religious perspectives. First of all, Brother Ali, can you define AI and also the philosophical background of artificial intelligence?
Yeah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Actually, artificial intelligence is, let's say, a model which is taking, is an imitation of human intelligence, but it is based on machines and systems. That is, some machines are given some data, some information, different kinds of data, but at the end of the day, they analyze the data that has been given to them based on some certain algorithms. And these machines and, let's say, computer systems or digitalized systems, they are working on analysis of those data. And the outcome is something that might astonish the human being, because as much as we give them the data, we enrich the system or machine from data, we make the system learn, then we are expecting something to give us as an output to us. I mean, this is the natural outcome of giving information, or let's say injecting information into something in a machine. So this technology has been actually flourished in recent years, and it has been a cause of, I don't know, a challenge for some from the let's say the decision makings level to the ordinary level and common lay people. So some believe that it will revolutionize the life of human being, and it will reach it to let's say a utopia that human beings were looking after, yeah. And some believe no, it might have some dangers and some side effects are there still, so we need to be cautious. So what is the Islamic perspective in this regard, and what do we think? I mean, what do we as human beings need to know about this, and how should be our stance with regard to AI? So we need to refer to Islamic teachings to see if Islam is against this technology or no. Alhamdulillah, we see that Islam is never ever against knowledge or science in any of its form and definition, and always welcomes any progress in science and knowledge. And the learning is always welcomed in Islam and Islamic teaching. So there is no need for us to be worried about the progress of AI, because AI at the end of the day is something which has been created by human beings, and human beings are the creatures of God and the sin of the earth, right? But still, if we look at, for example, a knife that we have at our hand, so we can use it for different purposes. Once it is being used for cutting a piece of meat, some it is used for, I don't know, for some good purposes, and sometimes in order to tear up the belly of a person. I mean, so at the same time that it has some benefits, it might have some actually dangerous as well in that regard for those who are going to use it in the wrong way. But we see that the benefits of AI or in artificial intelligence is too much, and it elevates and facilitates the life for human being, and it gives them lots of privileges that they were lacking of and before, or it actually speeds up to the other branches of science and knowledge. So it is quite clear for us that it has lots of benefits. But at the same time that we look at the benefits of it, we need to be cautious for the dangers that it might have due to the bad usage of this good technology.
Yeah, thank you, Brother Ali. And, you know, I was reading a quotation somewhere about the artificial intelligence that once the intelligence is solved, every other problem can be solved. And, you know, but the problem is every powerful technology has its own actually potential benefits and potential risks that we have to take into consideration. And the thing that is discussed here is that maybe these artificial intelligence can be developed to a level to think actually independently. And when it comes to this stage of thinking independently, it may have some religious beliefs. And it's something natural. When you think, you will have some beliefs. And, you know, artificial intelligence will get out of its objectivity, and it will be it will get closer to this subjectivity and being biased and also prejudice and other things, other features of all human beings. So with all this power, what can we do about this potential risk, Sheikh Rouhani? We may get from this objectivity of this artificial intelligence to this emotional level and stages of development of these creations. And when we come to this level, they may have some religious beliefs. Mm-hmm. It's something natural. And they are more powerful than human beings.
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Of course, artificial intelligence, first of all, we should understand that when it comes to, because our question is that we are now comparing, between human being and artificial intelligence, yes.
Yeah.
That are they completely similar to each other, or they are different? Or is it possible for artificial intelligence to become a complete human one day, act exactly like human being? Yes, we might look at this phenomenon from different perspectives. But I prefer to look at this phenomenon from Islamic perspective, because I'm a student of Hawza Ilmiya Islamic Studies. And of course, I prefer to look from a kind of Quranic or Islamic perspective to this issue. You see, based on what we understand from the Islamic teachings, and particularly from the views and ideas of Muslim philosophers, who are again very much based on the Quranic and pure Islamic teachings, we believe that human being is of two very, let's say, different kind of dimensions. One is the soul and nafs. Nafs or soul, nafs is a kind of technical Arabic terms that we can translate it into soul or spirit, something like that. And then we have another thing in human, which is mind, which is called dhihn. Dhihn is mind. When we study about the artificial intelligence, it seems that artificial intelligence mostly deal with this mind, not with the nafs. Because nafs is different from mind. Okay? For example, Ibn Sina is of the view, one of the great Muslim philosophers, he is of the view that nafs is something that can perceive itself, without any sensation, without any sensory kind of, let's say, sensation, man is able, or the soul is able, to perceive itself. If that is the soul, then of course mind is something that only functions by these sensations. So now, If soul and nafs is something completely different, categorically different from the body, from the mind, from the brain, then of course artificial intelligence only can copy some of the capabilities or, let's say, abilities of the brain, of some of the kind of mechanisms that work inside our brain. Not that, let's say, aspect of our existence, which is soul. Like what? For example, look, we have something like otoscopy.
Yeah.
Otoscopy means to get out of your body. You know, this is a kind of experience that man can have, getting outside their physical body.
Yeah, I know.
And then perceive each and everything from outside. This is otoscopy. It happens to the mankind. Telepathy, which is a kind of communication or connection between this man and that man without any physical or, let's say, physical or material instruments or equipments or tools. So this is a kind of connection or communication between people which goes beyond this physical nature. And also we have true dreams,
yeah,
which sometimes people see in their dreams, something that truly happens or occurs in their daily life. So the information that they receive from that dream should come from a kind of sources which is outside the body of human being. Because inside the body, they do not have such ability or such information. For example, sometimes in your dream, in your true dream, you are provided with kind of information that you have never experienced, that you have never seen anyone who can talk to you, who can give you such information. Then you, when you apply those things in the next day, for example, later, you see that everything is true. So where did you get this information? If, for example, man is only this brain, this physical brain, then of course this kind of information that people are provided with, otoscopy that people can experience, telepathy that people can perform, all these things cannot be answered. So that's why, so these are some very, simple kind of examples that we can give to the audience. But when it comes to philosophical theories, in which philosophers define soul and body and the differences between soul and body philosophically, because it becomes very much scientific or kind of scholarly or, let's say, professional kind of discussion. We do not go to that aspect. So that's why, for example, from the Islamic perspective, some other points that I can mention here is, first of all, the existence of ruh, then the existence of the hereafter life.
Yeah.
And then the other things that I can mention, which differs completely human being from the intelligence service, is that human is selective when it comes to deciding between some different kinds of desires and inclinations. Man is able to decide very freely, with freedom, independently, by his own intellect. And this is the thing that artificial intelligence might not be able to do that. Or man is always seeking the perfection, taqarrub ila Allah ta'ala, from the Islamic perspective. And also man receives wahi. How can we say that the artificial intelligence can do that?
Yeah.
Man has knowledge of unseen. Artificial intelligence cannot receive that kind of knowledge. Man has ilmul asma, which is a Quranic term, should be explained. The audience can refer to the whole Quran. Man has ilm al-laduni. Man can have kind of negative or salbi knowledge and ilm. And man has nafs al-lawama. Nafs al-lawama cannot exist in artificial intelligence. Man has fitra tawhidi, monotheistic fitra and nature. We cannot find such things in artificial intelligence. These are the things that exist in the man's nature, in the man's existence and soul, that no one can put them into, or no one can attribute or ascribe these sort of things to the artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence, at most, it would be a kind of copy of some mechanisms or, let's say, what we can say, functions of the brain.
Yeah.
It's not more than that. But all these things that we mentioned about the nature of man goes absolutely beyond the artificial intelligence.
Thank you, Sheikh Rouhani, for your thorough explanation of this artificial intelligence and the difference between the actually nature of human beings and artificial intelligence. I think we are running out of time. Thank you for listening to us. It was a pleasure to be at your service. I wish you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam.
You came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, accept that. يقولها لنا يوم القيامة أمتي أمتي يقولها شفاعة أنا لها أنا لها
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, let us contemplate on what Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, has said about the kinds of hands that human beings have. There are three kinds of hands: the begging hand, the giving hand, and a grasping hand. But the best kind of hand is the giving hand.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news. Iranian culture. Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
Water in the Gaza Strip.
Part 2.
I've brought you the water for washing the dishes and for domestic use. I've brought it from the sea. use as little water as you can so that we have it for a longer time. I don't want to keep coming and going carrying water pails. Wash those dirty cups. Take out the cups. Give me that. Use less water so that it will suffice. I've brought it for you from the sea. We have no tap water here.
The volume of depleting aquifer is much more than the quantity returned. Today, through studies we did on the existing wells in the west of the Gaza City over the past 15 years, we note a sharp and not a gradual transition from light to severe salinity. The existing wells in the west of the city must be closed, and the reliance must be on new wells in the east of the city to reduce the very dangerous leak of the seawater into the dry land, especially in the northwest of Gaza Strip.
The groundwater contamination and the high proportion of salt in it are not only due to the intrusion of the seawater in the groundwater. They're also the effect of an untreated sewage flow towards the sea, which runs along the beach of Beit Lahia and Rafa from the south to the north. It adversely affects the seawater and groundwater sanitation, making it polluted and, as a result, unfit for human consumption.
Saline water is harmful to children. They become sick. The last time I stayed about 6 days at hospital with my elder son, the doctors told me that he had something more dangerous than meningitis. He was taken to the intensive care unit. Blisters had appeared on his body. The blisters are mainly caused by salt water. As you can see, the water is salty. The hair has been damaged. The boys have undergone several surgeries. The rashes are all over their bodies. There's nothing to do. We are tired.
We have a large number of diseases widespread in Gaza now. Diseases like cancers, kidney problems, and renal failure, heart and vascular problems, as well as other diseases, such as diarrhea that affect children. There are also about 5 to 6 other common diseases in the Gaza Strip. We studied the causes of these diseases. Environmental factors are directly responsible. Water is a chemical compound made up of a set of elements. We found out that the quality of water plays a major role in these diseases, and they are spread in the Gaza Strip.
The combination of raw sewage and seawater threatens the safety of recreation areas as well as the health of those who take refuge from the unreasonable heat of the area and its constant power outages in the seaside. The seawater pollution caused by the sewage has become a threat to the health of those who swim in the sea.
Some studies have demonstrated the existence of bacterial and fungal contamination in the wastewater. Studies prove such contamination in the beach deposits. They are responsible for digestive diseases, skin diseases, in addition to the diseases that result from the industrial wastewater. They contain chemical substances, which are also in the water of the beaches here.
We escape the heat. They go to the sea due to the lack of water here. I'm forced to go to the sea to shower them. Then, as you can see, use the seawater to wash my body. I endure a great deal of suffering. Blisters are all over my body. I should go to the sea. My husband says that it's polluted with sewage. Where shall I go then? We have no water to take a bath with.
If the sewage was treated, it could replenish the aquifer without causing any problem. However, these huge, awkward pits are not good enough to keep such amount of sewage properly, and as a result, part of it leaks into the groundwater reservoir.
They drilled a well for us when we came to reside in this area. It is still here. They irrigate the area using the well. We used to drink its water. We asked the municipality staff if the water was contaminated. They said they had examined it and it was fine. We were surprised to see worms in the water after leaving it in a bottle for 2 or 3 days. The water was soaking with a soap-like foam once we shook the bottle. We told them we couldn't drink that contaminated water.
They drilled us a well in the Al Ouda Towers area. We drank from there. If the basins stay like that, all the residential towers will face the same situation.
The groundwater contamination has an adverse effect on the agricultural sector. Once the agricultural products used to be exported overseas from the Gaza Strip, but now the locals have hardly enough for their domestic use.
As soon as you come to Beit Hanun, you begin to smell lemon and orange up to the Rafah region. Water salinity is the major problem here. Everybody knows that citrus trees need fresh water with low rate of salinity. Citrus trees no longer grow well here because the water is salty and contains a very high degree of chloride.
هو سبب رئيسي في انه اشجار الحمضيات لم تعد تنمو بالشكل المطلوب كانت الحمضيات شايف حالها تصدر.
Citruses used to be exported from the Gaza Strip to all over the world, with the exception of some states that were not importers. The growth and export of citruses are diminishing just because of salty water, sewage, and Israeli suction of water. For these reasons, we import citrus fruits from the occupied territories today. The agricultural land in Beit Lahia was once over 10,000 dunams. Now, due to water salinity and contamination from the east to the west and the south, the agricultural land do not exceed 4,000 dunams in Beit Lahia.
Before the water crisis in the Gaza Strip, the citizens used to buy water from the desalination plants at prices not affordable for all.
I have no money to buy fresh water, or to bathe my children with fresh water, or to cook food with fresh water. I use the tap water all the time.
Today is a great day for me because I can fill the tank with fresh water. I had not filled the tank with fresh water for about 2 months. I collected the money from my brothers. We have 3 brothers living in the same house. Each of us paid 10 to 15 shekels in order to fill the tank like this, so as my kids, brothers, nephews and nieces will be able to shower with fresh water.
The cost of safe drinking water is high. Not all citizens can afford it for their children and others. The living situation is very difficult for the majority of the population in the Gaza Strip. In economic terms, the level of poverty is very high in the Strip. Such sources are not affordable for many citizens.
Desalination plants are a temporary solution to the crisis. The aquifers are overpumped. On the other hand, the amount of wastewater from the desalination process is huge, as it often goes to the sewers.
We have to do so because people are suffering from the lack of fresh water. How can they buy fresh water if there is no desalination station? Shall they die trying to secure water for their children or for washing? They have to use fresh water if they want to live.
Desalination plants are scattered throughout the Gaza Strip. Large amounts of water are extracted daily, half of which goes to sewers or into the ground once again. The water is salty, so they benefit from half of it. So they have to overpump water reservoirs, which leads to the depletion of the aquifer.
There is wastewater, but it can be controlled. About 25% of water can be possibly wastewater and 75% of it desalinated water. Wastewater depends on the quality of groundwater. It is difficult to take advantage of the wastewater if the groundwater is too salty.
In the Gaza Strip, as the population increases, the need for drinking water intensifies, and the challenge to find solution for this purpose gets more serious.
Solution to the water crisis in the Gaza Strip lies in three points that we summarize as follows. First, to set up large-scale desalination plants and to treat sewage water as much as possible to reuse in agriculture. Second, to stop or decrease the proportion of wells allocated to the agriculture sector. And third, to import water from outside.
We have an international right. We can have recourse to the international court for our rights and our share in the waters of underground reservoirs in the west and in the waters of the Jordan River.
Desalination plants must be built over the next 5 years because by 2020, the Gaza Strip will not be habitable given the current circumstances. Therefore, we must start right now and build large desalination plants in the area.
One of the most important solutions to the water crisis is to put an end to the Israeli occupation of Palestinian territories. It's now an open secret that the Israeli regime steals and keeps both underground and surface water that flow into the Gaza Strip.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Salamu alaikum, dear friend. Inshallah, you are doing well. So welcome. This is another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. I invite you to listen to us. First, we'll look at the calendar. Then we're going to speak about promoting humanity. So please be with us.
I pray to God, my heart, soul, and body, every single day of my life, with every breath, I solemnly promise to try to live my life for you. Oh Allah, you did revive my soul and shone your light into my heart. So pleasing you is now my only goal. Oh, I love you so, I love you so.
Today, 10th of Jamadil Thani, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 3rd of Day, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 24th of December, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter 10 from the Holy Quran. We'll listen to it, then we'll learn about the points of it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
In the name of Allah,
the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونِ
By the fig and the olive.
وَطُورِ سِينِينَ
And by Mount Sinai.
وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينِ
And by this secure city, Mecca.
لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ
We have certainly created man in the best of stature.
ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ
Then we return him to the lowest of the low.
إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ
Except for those who believe and do righteous deeds, for they will have a reward uninterrupted.
فَمَا يُكَذِّبُكَ بَعْدُ بِالدِّينِ
So what yet causes you to deny the recompense?
أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين
Is not Allah the most just of judges?
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
ما لنا رب سوى
The term taqwim in Arabic means to form something into an appropriate shape in a moderate regulation. The broadness of the meaning refers to the fact that Allah has created man proportionately in all respects, both from the bodily point of view and from the spiritual and rational point of view, because He, Allah, has settled all faculties in him and prepared him, human being, appropriately to cover a great path towards development. Although man is microcosm in him and has promoted him to such a high position.
My life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I when I have you? Doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light that guides me through my darkest nights. Shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone. Anything in life but you know I don't need anyone to show me my way no I don't need anyone but you
As I told you we're going to speak about promoting humanity The Quran teaches Muslims that human being was created not only a material being as God says In the Holy Quran, chapter 15, verse 29, when I have fashioned him in due proportion and breathed into him of my spirit, fall ye down in obeisance unto him. Surah 14, verse 29. Islam not only asserts the existence of the soul, but it emphasizes its superiority over the body. It is the soul that gives life to the body. Without the soul, the body is just a corpse. It is through the purification and perfection of oneself that one can reach salvation in the next life. At the end of the time, all human beings will be resurrected for the day of judgment where every single person from the very beginning of creation will be brought to account for all their deeds during their worldly life. The Quran stresses on the primacy of the life hereafter or akhirah as the earthly life is only temporary and the hereafter is the eternal abode.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. How can we be a better human? What does Islam or other religions say about achieving success to be a better person, a better personality, or to be a human? However, Islam, being the final religion, is now the most perfect religion whose teachings are inclusive and in harmony with sound reason. In any case, the secrets to great men's success to be a better human, to be a better person, are something about which there is no dispute or discrepancy between Islam and other divine religions. So, if you are looking for some success factors in being a better person, to present a better personality, we need to look at some of the factors and ways that are presented by Islam and Islamic teachings. Success of human beings' success constitutes a complex array of interrelated elements and factors. The first factor that we need to refer to make us think and ponder, to be a better person, to be a better human, is purposefulness. What leads a person to success and higher positions, as well as enables him to attain promotion in life, is a valuable and lofty goal. However, man should take into consideration all his faculties, capacity and potentials when choosing a goal. He should avoid adopting something as a goal which is irrational and unattainable, because the result would be nothing but frustration and failure. Imam Ali alayhi salam refers to this point as such: whoever craves for something which is beyond his capacity and limit, he is entitled to deprivation and failure. Success is always sought with a purpose. It begins with a purpose. That is because man is wise and sensible, and his undertakings should also be wise. He must enjoy life and take action towards realizing his goal, so that he may keep wandering. Whoever uses his capacity and power to achieve an important goal, he will definitely succeed.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
This is today's special. About the social welfare in Islam, we have that in Islamic tradition, the idea of social welfare has been presented as one of its principal values. And the practice of social service at its various forms has been instructed and encouraged. A Muslim's religious life remains incomplete if not attended by service to humanity. Similarly, duties to parents, neighbors, relatives, sick people, the old and minority group have been defined in Islam. In a long hadith recorded in Hadith Qudsi, sacred hadith, it is said that Allah on the Day of Judgment will be displeased with those who do not care for the sick people and who do not give food to those who ask. Allah will interrogate them and demand explanation from them. This hadith is seen as a reminder of human beings' obligation to respond to the needs of others, the individual, the family, the state, and the non-governmental organizations and the government. All are responsible for the performance of social responsibilities and for the promotion of social welfare. The Quran tells that the believers have been sent for the betterment of mankind, that they will promote what is good and prevent what is wrong. Chapter 3 of the Holy Quran, verse 110, this content is mentioned.
Ya ilahi.
Thinking about your end goal is one tip for becoming more human. Speaking of people, think about what the end goal of your organization is. Is it to reduce crime? Is it to get more people to start small businesses? Is it to get more people to get tested for diabetes? Your organization, no doubt, has some fantastic goals, and I bet all of them in some way are about making people's lives better. If you can tie your communication back to these goals, it's a win-win. The organization meets its mission, critical goals, and people take the actions you need them to take.
I would like to talk about the worth of a human being from the Islamic point of view. And as a preamble to that, let me talk about, you know, the position of human being in the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a human being as a social being, and they actually need one another. Let me use an example which I use actually in a very different context, but here also. You think of the breakfast that you had this morning. Majority would have bread, isn't it? Or paratha or something like that. Okay, but take the example of, you know, a loaf of bread. When you look at that bread, you know, if you start questioning, you know, where did this bread come from? The first answer would be that, you know, I bought it from the grocery store. The second question would be that where did the grocery store get that bread from? And they will say they bought it from the bakery if they don't have their own bakery. Where did the bakery get the bread for? Well, they put the flour, the salt, and water, mixed it up, and this is how they, you know, bake the bread. And the question will come up then, where did the bakery get the flour from? Well, they'll say, well, they got the flour from the flour mill. The question would be that where did the flour mill get the flour from? Well, they have to buy wheat from the farmers, and that is how they will, you know, change it into flour. The question would be, where did the farmer get the wheat from? Well, he does the farming. He puts in the seed in the ground, waters the field. And this is where we see that the seed is there, the earth is there, the water is there, and the sun is there. Sun rays is also a very important element. And this is where, you know, just looking at that simple loaf of bread on your breakfast table, if you really start asking questions, you will eventually be led to your provider, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this example, my point here about interdependency, the question is, to get that one single loaf of bread, how many hands, you know, were involved in there? And this is where you come to realize the social, you know, dimension of a human being.
That was all for today's special, and of course, to promote humanity. Inshallah, we continue this topic. So follow us on parstoday.ir/en. Thank you very much, and fi amanillah.
Told me that I'm crazy, who you're praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you're looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door.
And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. 'Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.